brought a cup of water in case I choke again. How's everyone doing? Pastor Benjamin is resting up, and he actually did a comedy show on Wednesday. I think he was still feeling a little dizzy, and so if you see the video clip, he's like holding on to the mic stand while he's doing his routine. But he's healing up really well, and our pastor should be en route to their vacation tomorrow. And so this is, honestly, they have not had a chance to rest in the last 12 years of running ministry. Even their sabbatical a few years ago, they were preaching the whole time. I was like, that's not sabbatical. Like, that's, you know, that's ministry. And so this time they actually get to go and rest. And so we're really excited for them. Keep them in your prayers. Pastor Sonny asked me to relay this message. I miss you. That was a really bad Pastor Sonny impression, but it's okay. A quick testimony, my wife and I and our friend Connie, we actually went up to Reading this weekend to Bethel Church, and we've been doing this maybe for 3 years. Every year they invite me to participate in their backpack giveaway. They rent out like a pool and a theme park, and what they do is they hand out backpacks full of school supplies to struggling families, low-income families. And so I got a chance to go up, and they asked me to share some music. And this is a first. As I was rapping, Chris Overstreet, the director of the whole thing, he came up to me afterwards. He's like, I want you to know that as you were spitting fire, like someone was just receiving the words that you were spitting, you were rapping, and they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they started speaking in the holy language in tongues. I was like, what? I was like, that's never happened before. And so it was like a really awesome time. Bethel's doing amazing things. I just wanted to report that when you do anything as an act of worship, it has the power to bring heaven on earth. And so I don't care if it looks weird. Just do it, okay? All right. Also, just want to recap the last few weeks. We're in our Worship Without Walls series right there. God truly among us. And now it's Worship Without Walls. Amen. And we've been going deeper into what worship is. And so the first week we talked about how worship is the eternal adventure of pursuing God, right? Worship is not a means to an end. It is the end. It is the thing that we're going to be doing for all of eternity. And then last week I shared about how God wants us to worship in freedom. And then I gave you the 7 words for praise, right? And our community group's hilarious. Like, we have this hashtag going, Shabak Alert, because a lot of them resonated with Shabak, you know, to yell and shout. And so we have like a hashtag Shabak Alert. When you feel like a yell coming on, it's like hashtag Shabak Alert. You better get ready, right? And it's funny, one of our community group members, his thing, he really resonated with halal. But he thought, he was sharing and he's like, yeah, I really resonated with, what's it called, falafel? I think it's because I mentioned halal, guys, but anyway, I hope that you've been really asking God, God, how do you want to activate me in praise this season? And so whether it's a Shabak or a falafel or a halal, whatever it looks like, God, how do you want to activate my praise in this season? So that's what we talked about last week. And so this week, the title of my message is A Broken Hallelujah. Amen. Right? We're going to be talking about what it looks like to worship in every season. You know, because let's be real, sometimes you come to church and you're just in one of those seasons where it's hard for you to lift up your hands. It's hard for you to worship. And I want to acknowledge that that's okay. Okay? And so we're going to look at Habakkuk 3:17-18. Yeah, I'm going to the minor prophets. Come on, y'all. All right, this is what it says. It says, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Let's pray. God, we just thank you, Lord, that God, you have called us to worship in every season, and it looks different in every season. And so this morning, I just want you to release the freedom, God. Abba, Father, release the freedom for sons and daughters to come into your presence as they are. And I thank you it's in that place that radical change happens. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A secular artist, Leonard Cohen, in 1984, wrote a song called Hallelujah. How many of you guys know this song? Hallelujah. Why don't you play the clip real quick, Jacob? It was really popularized when Jeff Buckley started performing it. He did a cover of it, and it's a really beautiful song. And if you've heard the song before, it has real raw and honest lyrics. But one of the phrases really captured my heart, and it's at the end of the second verse as it goes into the chorus. And he talks about a broken hallelujah. And really, Leonard Cohen wrote this song in response to rigid religion. You know, he wrote this as a parallel to, do you guys know the song? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You guys know that song? Okay, it doesn't sound quite like that, but you guys know that song, right? Okay, you can take it off, Jacob. He wrote it in response to this song because he wanted people to know that there's a different sound of hallelujah. It doesn't always look like hallelujah, hallelujah, right? He's saying there's a broken hallelujah, and it's extremely powerful. It was a response to rigid religion that says faith is dressed up. It's clean. It's neat. But what Leonard Cohen was saying, and this guy's not saved, mind you, he said there's a faith that is messy. And there's a faith that's raw, that's untamed, that's undone. And so he wrote this song to kind of explain that kind of faith. Let me ask you something. Has life ever hit you so hard that it was difficult for you to worship? How many of you have experienced that? Have you ever drowned so deep in pain that it was hard to cry out to God? Come on. Have you ever been surrounded with such deep darkness that you couldn't see the light? This is what a broken hallelujah is birthed from. See, when you find yourself in these moments of intense pain, intense darkness, where you don't feel the presence of the Lord, it's in these moments that sometimes all you can muster up is a broken hallelujah. And that's what we're going to talk about today. You see, a broken hallelujah might not sound pretty. It might not be exuberant, extravagant, or loud. You know, I'm really, you know, I'm this, right? Worship isn't always like this, right? Sometimes a broken hallelujah might not even be a sound at all. Sometimes it might just be a heart saying, God, I need you right now. But I want you to know that it's powerful beyond belief and has the power to change the world. You see, God delights more in a broken hallelujah than he does in empty praise. You know, in seminary, God bless seminary. I love seminary. In seminary, one of my favorite classes was Christian counseling. And David and I took this class, and we both agreed this was the most life-changing class. And in this class, we went over a book called The Emotionally Healthy Church by Peter Scazzaro. And I talked a little bit about it when I preached my message, hashtag so much fun in seminary last year. But today, we're going to get a little deeper into it today. How many of you guys know that one of the biggest killers in churches is emotionally unhealthy believers? You see, Peter Scazzaro says humans are like icebergs, okay? You know, like Titanic, you know, iceberg. They're saying that 10% is visible, but there's a whole 90% of the iceberg that's underwater that's not seen. And Peter Scazzaro is saying sometimes we're like that iceberg and we feel like we have a problem on the surface. And so we deal with the problem on the surface and we chip it off. It's like we chip off that tip of the iceberg. But what happens is the part that's submerged starts rising because there's a 90% that's deeper. How many of you guys know there's unseen parts of us that no one else sees, that sometimes we're not even aware of? And this is what we're talking about today. Listen, for too long, the church has believed that emotions are an evil thing. You know, whether unconsciously or consciously, we've been told a lie that emotions are an evil thing. How many of you guys have heard in church, don't trust your emotions, right? You know, don't disregard your emotions and align yourself to the truth. And while I believe that is true, I believe there's another silver lining there. See, unconsciously, we have a rule against certain feelings, right? That we're not allowed to feel these feelings. How many of you guys know what I mean? Like sometimes you feel guilty about feeling sad in church, right? Or sometimes you feel guilty about feeling angry or discouraged or frustrated or hurt. And you believe that these emotions are wrong to feel. You know what movie this reminds me of? Inside Out. How many of you guys have seen Pixar's Inside Out? See, inside Riley's mind, all that she allowed herself to feel was joy and sometimes disgust and all these other things. But look a little sadness right here. Like, look how sad she looks. Look how off to the corner she is. And what the movie was getting at is Riley did not allow herself to experience sadness because she thought it was a bad thing. But what you learn in the movie is that once you embrace sadness, it actually elevates who you are. Once you embrace sadness and embrace these negative emotions, all right, you can take that off. That's depressing. Once you learn to embrace and feel the emotions, the honest emotions in your heart, that's when true maturity and growth can happen. You see, most believers feel like they don't have permission to freely explore their emotions. But we're breaking that lie today. I want to tell you that you have free, full authority to explore your emotions. Amen? You see, we choose to avoid these negative emotions instead of dealing with them. I have this amazing quote from Dan Allender. It says this: ignoring our emotions is turning our back on reality. Listening to our emotions ushers us into reality, and reality is where we meet God. Emotions are the language of the soul. They are the cry that gives the heart a voice. However, we often turn a deaf ear through emotional denial, distortion, or disengagement. We strain out anything disturbing in order to gain tenuous control of our inner world. We are frightened and ashamed of what leaks into our consciousness. In neglecting our intense emotions, we are false to ourselves and lose a wonderful opportunity to know God. We forget that change comes through brutal honesty and vulnerability before God. Dan Allender, The Cry of the Soul. Man, that could preach right there. That could be it right now. How many of you guys know that emotions are important? You see, God sent us a comforter because he knew that there would be times where we need to be comforted, right? Even in John 16:33, Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart because I have overcome the world. You see, I often find that believers, we mask those negative emotions with spirituality. Mm-hmm. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? It's like rather than dealing with pain, rather than honestly bringing our emotions before God, we use spirituality to hide or sweep our emotions under the rug. I'll give you a great example. You know, I had this friend in college. And do you have those kind of people in your life? It's like you share a deep struggle with them and all they say is, but God is good. Don't worry, bro. God is good. He has a plan for your life. Like, don't worry. God's going to do something amazing. You just need to see it in that perspective. And I've learned that that's the worst thing that you could say to someone who's intensely hurting. Have you ever been on the receiving end of that? What you're really feeling is, I just want you to hear me. I just want you to understand me. But what I find is that a lot of us, we use spirituality to mask our emotions. We use scripture like James 1:2, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you encounter trials of any kind. And we say, oh, it's pure joy. I'm sad. Pure joy. Come on, let's be real, right? It's not pure joy. Sometimes it's difficult. Or sometimes we use Romans 8:28, right? God works for the good of those who love you. How many of you guys have heard that when you were grieving? And what happens is we use spirituality to mask the emotions that we're feeling rather than directly dealing with it. And I want you to know that that's religion. That's religion. And there's no breakthrough that could happen in religion. You see, sometimes we need to be heard or felt before we hear the truth, before the truth can really penetrate our hearts. This is why Jesus came as a little baby in a barn. He came as something weak. He came so he could empathize with our weakness, our pain, our struggle, our emotions. And what happened in his most desperate moment on the cross? That's when he proved the most victorious. Let me tell you something. God knows you, and he knows the emotions that you feel, and he cares about the emotions that you feel. You know, I love my wife. Sorry, I talk about my wife a lot, huh? It's because I love her. And one thing I appreciate about Krista is anytime that one of her strongest gifts is empathy. And every time I come to her, and even if I don't know what's wrong, she'll be like, so how are you feeling? And I'll be like, I don't know. It's like, okay, now tell me about that. And I'll be like, I guess I'm kind of hurting. And she doesn't try to find a solution quickly. What she does is she sits with me. She looks me in my eyes and she makes me feel like she cares. And listen, this is what I believe that the body of Christ needs, is honesty, vulnerability with one another and before God. You see, David was the realest dude, right? David in the Psalms, his emotions go all the way from here, all the way to here, right? Sometimes he's rejoicing in the Lord, dancing and dignified. Other times he's in the pit, Lord, kill me. And what I find in the Psalms is that it's awesome that David displays a wide array of emotions. It shows that it's okay as a believer to have a wide array of emotions. It's okay to feel sad. It's okay to feel angry. It's okay to feel frustrated or hurt. This is part of life. Let's be real. Life sucks sometimes. Can I get an amen to that? Life sucks sometimes. And listen, you don't need to shift yourself out of that. Sometimes you could experience the suckiness, and it's in that place that God really breaks through. How many of you guys know that what's inside of you eventually makes its way out? You know, I'm a hip-hop artist, and I love freestyling. And I love freestyling with people that don't normally rap because it's an opportunity to see what's really inside their heart. See, because when you're freestyling, you don't have anything premeditated. You just start rapping. And I've freestyled with some of my close friends, and you would not believe the things that have come out of their mouths. How many of you guys know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks? And so what's inside of you will eventually make its way outside of you. Meaning, if there are unresolved issues, pain that you have not dealt with, pain that you've masked or covered, eventually it's going to make its way outside of you, and it's going to affect the people around you. I got this illustration that I stole from Brian Johnson of Bethel Music. How many of you guys know that we're all like this balloon right here, right? And you know, life just happens sometimes. Life just happens. And so what happens is we experience trauma, or we experience pain or frustration, and it starts to fill us with pain. And then something else happens, and it fills us with more pain. And actually, what we really should be doing when this happens is doing this. We should be letting, and actually it kind of sounds like that, right? We should be letting out our pain when we experience that kind of trauma or hurt, right? But what I find is a lot of believers, what happens is this, and this is true to myself, is that we experience pain. We don't deal with it. Experience some more pain. Snap, my dog died. I didn't deal with it. And all these things happen. And what happens eventually, you guys know where this is going, is we pop. See, what we find is that rather than dealing with the emotions in a healthy way and releasing it to God, it builds up inside of us until we pop. You know, I really experienced this in 2013. One of my great mentors in faith, he pretty much raised me as a spiritual father in middle school. He taught me how to pray. He taught me how to lead Bible study. He taught me how to lead worship. Well, I'd found out that year that he got arrested in Florida while he was at a worship, or he was speaking at a youth conference, and he got arrested for soliciting prostitution with an underage girl. And when I heard that, my world got shook. Because this is the man who pretty much raised me in faith. He taught me how to read the word. He taught me how to worship. And at the time, I was really busy in ministry. And so I told myself, I'm okay. I don't have time to deal with this. And so I shelved it. And in that season, I was so busy doing a lot of ministry, and I didn't deal with that pain. I didn't realize how much it wounded me. And I remember I went to New Philadelphia that year for their summer retreat or their spring retreat. And I just remember in worship, it's like that balloon, I just popped. Like all the emotions started flooding out. I started getting overwhelmed with the pain of what happened, of me not dealing with that pain. And it just poured out and I exploded. And what I find is that a lot of believers, we go through these things. And instead of dealing with it, we say, oh, but it's okay, God is good. Oh, it's okay, God reigns, he's in control. And listen, that's true. But we don't allow ourselves to feel the emotions, the sting of those things that have hurt us. And I want you to know that that's an unhealthy thing. Listen, God cares about our emotions. God himself is an emotional being, right? If we look in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus, in anger, in holy righteous anger, See, I've never entered into holy righteous anger yet, right? But Jesus, in holy righteous anger, drove out all the merchants in the temple. In John chapter 11, Jesus wept over the death of his friend Lazarus. How many of you guys know that Jesus knew Lazarus was coming back from the dead? But then why did he weep? Because he allowed himself to feel the sting of his friend dying. Seeing his friend dying, even though he knew the truth that breakthrough is coming, he allowed himself to feel the emotions, the sting of one of his close friends dying. Luke chapter 22, Jesus before his rest. He was in so much agony and pain and turmoil that he was crying blood, tears of blood. Listen, God is an emotional being. And if we were made in his image, we were made to be emotional beings. Let me tell you, God cares about your emotion. The Bible says he's Emmanuel, God with us. Meaning he understands the pain. He understands the things that you go through. I want to say this. You cannot be spiritually mature without being emotionally mature. You see, too many believers, we concern ourselves with trying to become spiritually mature without dealing with our emotional maturity. Too many people focus on spiritual growth, and we don't pay enough attention to our emotional growth. What is emotional maturity? This is what I'm getting at. It's learning how to be self-aware of what's going on inside of you. And learning how to deal with the things going on inside of you in a healthy way. That's emotional maturity. When you know what's going on the inside of you, on the very depths of your heart, and you deal with it in a healthy manner. What's going on inside of me? Are there things that I haven't dealt with that are affecting the way that I interact with people or with God today? But this is where worship comes into play. Because how many of you guys know that you can get lost soul searching? And this is where you don't want to go, is you just only focus on your soul. You focus on your emotions. Let me tell you, that's a deep, dark pit that you may never come back from. But this is why worship is important. Worshiping in the midst of our pain. You see, Bill Johnson always says, faith doesn't deny a problem's existence. It denies it a place of influence. And so faith doesn't turn a blind eye to the reality of real world situations. Faith doesn't say, okay, yeah, I'm hurt, but it's okay, I love God. No, faith just doesn't give their emotions a place of influence. See, we were designed to feel pain, but we weren't designed to keep it to ourselves. We were designed to bring it before the Father. Just like that balloon analogy, what we really should have been doing, I'll show you again. What we really should be doing is going before the Father and doing this. That's what we should be doing, is bringing our pain before the Father and laying it at his feet. Listen, as we hold on to our pain, as we hold on to those emotions, consciously or unconsciously, it has influence and power over us. But as soon as we give it to the Father and we bring it into the light, those emotions have no reign over our lives. You see, we don't need to clean up our mess before we come to God. God is not afraid of your mess. He's seen the deepest, darkest sin, and he's still dealt with it. God wants to meet you in the midst of your mess, and he wants to meet you there and prove himself faithful and strong. How many of you guys know that there's a difference between feeling pain, allowing yourself to feel pain, and dwelling in it? And the former is a healthy thing. Feeling pain, feeling the sting of negative emotions. But once you dwell in it, that's a place. Once you keep it to yourself and you don't bring it before God, that's an unhealthy place. You see, too many of us rush to get ourselves out of the pain. How many of you guys have been there? That's me every time. It's like every time I experience pain or go through a season where it's like a desert season or a hard season or emotionally difficult season, my tendency is to try to rush to get myself out of it. But how many of you guys have ever fallen in quicksand? Good, I haven't either. You probably wouldn't be here if you did. But what happens is when you fall in quicksand, the more that you struggle to get yourself out, the deeper that you fall in. But what happens when you stay still and you allow someone to rescue you? That's the way that you get out of quicksand. And a lot of us, we treat the traumas and the pains of our lives like quicksand. And we're struggling, get out, right? But the more that we struggle, the deeper that we fall in. Listen, embrace your emotions and invite God into them. So how does worship come into play? Worship is the release of our pain to God. Let me say that again. Worship is the releasing of our pain to God. It's saying, God, I don't know how you're going to fix this. God, I don't know how you're going to heal me. God, I don't understand what's going on, but I know that you are good. And I know that you love me. And I know that you have the power to help me. You know, I've been inspired by Pastor Benjamin more than ever in this season. Because he's at the weakest, lowest place that he's ever been. I mean, if you've seen him, okay, when I went to go visit him for the first time after he got back from the hospital, probably doesn't want me sharing this, but it's okay. It's for the sermon illustration. But you know, like his hair was growing out. He couldn't get up on his own. He was lying. They had no AC in their house. It was like 96 degrees. He was lying on the couch, just one fan on him. And he came and he's, oh, hey, Mickey. He looked incredibly weak and frail. But I loved that when I talked to him, that there was so much life coming out of his words. He's saying, listen, honestly, my body is jacked up right now. And honestly, I don't know why. But you know what? I'm so happy. Right now, I'm so content. Because even in this, God is drawing me closer to his heart. You see, Pastor Benjamin, your pastor, your spiritual father in his most broken state is choosing to worship God. And it doesn't sound like a, oh, you know how he normally worships. It's not loud like that. But it's a broken hallelujah. But I've never been more inspired by him. That as he's laying down and he can't see, he can't stand up or walk, and he's just meditating on the things of the Lord. Listen, that's powerful. You know, one of my favorite heroes in faith is Brother Yun. And this guy is crazy. He got persecuted as a believer in China. And there's stories where he got arrested, thrown into prison because he was a believer. And there's an incredible story where he fasted over 70 days, right? You hear me? He fasted over 70 days. And not really fasting because they just did not give him food. And he said his ears got as small as little raisins. He said he was so depraved, physically depraved. And there would be stories where guards would come and mock him by taking feces and urine and making him do holy communion with those things. He experienced such persecution and such suffering. But every night, all the prisoners, all the guards would hear Brother Yun singing out his praise to the Lord, saying, God is good. Listen, worship is a powerful thing in the midst of your pain. And worship is actually releasing your pain unto the Lord. You see, a broken hallelujah says, I don't have the answers, but I'm going to praise you anyway. It says, I don't have the breakthrough yet, but I'm going to praise you. It says, I don't know what's going on. I feel pain, but I'm still going to praise you. How many of you guys know that authenticity births the most powerful expressions of worship? And so when you're just real, like, can we get real, church? Like, can we just get real? I want to cut out all the fluff. I want to cut off all the religion and just be real before one another and before God. Can we just be real? Authenticity births the most powerful expressions of worship. It's in the tension between what's known and what's unknown, between what's seen and what's unseen, where you produce the sweetest sounds of praise. It's in those places that worship is extremely powerful. In Isaiah chapter 60, it says, no longer will violence be heard in your land, nor ruin or destruction within your borders, but you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. I want to focus on this verse for a second. How many of you guys know what gates are? Gates lead you to something. Am I correct? You go through a gate and it leads you somewhere. In this case, what Isaiah is talking about is that he's saying no longer will violence be heard in land. He's saying once you go through these gates, there will be breakthrough for your land. Okay? Keep with me here. Revelation later tells us, in the book of Revelation, it tells us that the gate of God is made out of solid pearl. Okay? And so we have this gate called praise. And Isaiah is saying once you go through the gate called praise, you're going to experience breakthrough for your land. And Revelation says this gate is made out of solid pearl. How many of you guys know how pearls are formed? Pearls are formed when there's an irritant working its way into the oyster. And as a defense mechanism, a fluid is released to combat the irritant. In other words, a pearl is produced in tension. A pearl is produced when there's tension, and friction is what produces that beautiful pearl. What is Isaiah saying here? He's saying that the gates of praise that are created by tension, meaning by when you encounter pain or you encounter resistance, when you learn to praise in the midst of that, it produces a gate that leads to breakthrough. Isaiah is saying that when you learn to worship, when you learn to praise, when there's resistance, when there's tension against your life, when there's tension against your song, when there's tension against your worship, when you worship in those moments, it becomes a gate to breakthrough for your land. Come on, isn't that powerful? A great example of this is when Paul and Silas found themselves in prison. And they began worshiping, and there was an earthquake, and then the gates opened. Listen, when we learn to worship in our brokenness, when we learn to sing out a broken hallelujah in our pain, there is major breakthrough that not only happens in your life, but in the lives of everyone around you. There's something extremely powerful about worship that is birthed from pain. You know, one of my favorite worship leaders, Chris Kilala. He's one of the lead male singers for Jesus Culture. And on their latest album, he wrote a song called Miracles. And when I heard the story, I was so inspired because what happened last year as they were recording this project, Chris Kilala, his wife, basically gave birth to a stillborn baby. And so a week before the baby was due, I believe it was a week before, they couldn't hear a heartbeat. And so she had to go through all the motions of taking this dead baby outside of her womb. And listen, I can't imagine what kind of pain that must be. And some of you know what this pain is. But they experienced this deep pain together. But what I'm inspired by is this. They allowed themselves to mourn. But the song that came from that experience was this song called Miracles. And what the song says is, God, you're a God of miracles, that you can do anything. God, that you are the God of the miraculous, that miracles are in your nature. How can Chris Kilala sing about a God of miracles who can do anything when it seemed like God didn't respond to the prayers for the life of his child? Listen, there's something powerful when we worship, even if everything else says the opposite of what we believe to be true. There's something powerful that happens when you're in the middle of the deepest pain of your life, when you release that broken hallelujah. I wanna play this clip. And how many of you guys know the song How He Loves? You guys know that song? Man, I watched this clip 3 times this week, and I got wrecked every time. It's so powerful. But he's another one of my favorite worship leaders, John Mark McMillan. And I love him because he's a songwriter who expresses the deep emotions of his heart. It doesn't hold anything back. But How He Loves, that worship song, was birthed from tragedy. And so I want us to watch this real quick before we continue in the Word. There's going to be Spanish subtitles in case you don't speak English. Turn the volume up.
He said, I'd give my life today if it would shake the youth of the nation. And he died that night in a car accident. He was one of the youth leaders. And later I became one of the youth leaders. And
we were incredibly distraught by his death because everybody loved him so much. But at the same time, we knew he offered a precious sacrifice for something we believed in. We believed that a movement was going to rise from his death. I mean, not like Jesus or anything, but he said, Lord, if it would shake the youth of a nation, I'd give my life. And the Lord accepted that. So we have to believe that if the Lord responded to that first part of the prayer. I'd give my life and he'd respond to the second part of the prayer. Well, I became a youth pastor and for 3 years, I thought, when is this movement gonna start? When is this gonna happen? And I worked with a bunch of really awesome, wonderful kids and some awesome stuff happened, but a youth movement didn't happen. And years later, I felt like everybody had forgotten. I thought they'd forgotten about him. And I was the only one. I thought, Lord, what's the deal? 3 years and nothing from this death. He was my best friend, Lord. And then several months ago, I was playing at a conference and Lou was there. And we were playing and he leaned over to me and he said, let's sing this in a stadium. And that kept ringing in my head, let's sing this in a stadium. When I realized, the day after he died, I woke up and I wrote this song the very next day. And it's not my song, but the song has had wings. Everywhere it goes, I get emails from kids who've been delivered. I have people who've been saved just by listening to the song. And if this song, this has nothing to do with me. Maybe I am arrogant, but I'm not arrogant in this. Is that I truly believe that this song is in some way a fulfillment to his prophecy, Lord. If you would shake the youth of the nation, I'd give my life. So he died, and out of his death, I wrote this song. It's not even a worship song. It's a story about a guy named Stephen who meets the Lord for the first time after he's died. But I sing it like a worship song, because I believe this song is going to shake the youth of a nation. And whether it shakes the youth of a nation tonight or some other time, I have to believe that it's going to shake the youth of a nation. So would you sing it with me to the Lord, but also as intercession.
Man, it gets me every time. You know why it's so important to me? It's because I was the youth of the nation. I just remember in college, in my brokenest time, that this is a song that taught me about the nature of the Father. That there's a Father that loves me. And when I saw this video, I lost it because I didn't know that this song that had taken me so high, had taken me so deep into the heart of the Father. I didn't know this song was birthed from pain and tragedy. But how many of you guys know that his friend that died and the pain that he experienced produced this song that impacted so many people? How many of you guys have been impacted by that song, How He Loves and He Loves Me? Listen, that's the power of a broken hallelujah. When we cut out the fluff and the religion and we say, can I just be real? I'm a hurting human. I'm a broken, I'm a flawed believer. I'm someone who experiences tension, pain, and tragedy. But God, I choose to worship you in the midst of this. You see, only in this life will you have the opportunity to lift up that kind of worship, that kind of praise. Only in this life will we have the opportunity to lift up worship in the midst of pain, to lift up worship in the midst of opposite circumstances, to lift up worship in the midst of tragedy and in brokenness, because in heaven we won't experience any of that. But in this life we have the unique opportunity to lift up an expression of praise that flows from our brokenness, from our hurting. And listen, it's in that place that we see a movement that changes the nation. Listen, you might not be a songwriter like John Mark McMillan, but when you lift up a broken hallelujah, when you lift up worship as a response to pain and bring it before the Father. It has the power to break through in your life and in the lives of those around you. I want to end with this story. You know, my mom, I didn't have the best relationship with her growing up. And there was a period of my life where my heart was hardened towards her. And one thing I didn't like about my mom when we were growing up is that she smoked a lot. And as a result of her smoking, her vocal cords got damaged. I remember in the midst of my heart being hardened to her, I came home from college one weekend. And I remember I was just in my dad's room playing Minesweeper, because that's what we played back then. Or at least that's what I played back then. And I remember hearing this sound, this strange sound. And it almost sounded like a dog whimpering or whining. And I remember I opened the door from my dad's office and I peeked into the living room. And my mom's vocal cords had been so damaged that she couldn't sing. But I remember she was sitting there in the living room. And she didn't know why her vocal cords were damaged. I mean, she knew it was a result of her smoking, but she didn't know why. That she wanted to worship, but no sound would come out. But I remember there in the living room, she was just worshiping God. And it wasn't a beautiful sound. It wasn't a loud sound. It sounded like a dog whimpering, to be quite honest. But I remember looking at that, and my heart melted because I thought, this is so beautiful. And God is so pleased with her worship. And it doesn't sound extravagant. It doesn't sound great. She was just sitting in tears, crying and singing out in that low pitch or that high pitch. But I remember thinking, God is so pleased with this kind of worship. More than just dancing and being, you know. More than that, this honest expression of worship that won't be recorded onto any album, thank God. This expression of worship that doesn't sonically sound good by any means. But I heard God say so clearly, this is what I'm after. A people that will come before me with authenticity, with honesty, and worship me. And so some practical steps that I believe that we can apply from today's message. Number one, practice being self-aware. Ask yourself, what's going on inside of me? And listen, this message ain't for all of you right now. For some of you, it might come later. But this message is for everyone, if you understand that. Ask yourself, what's going on inside of me right now? What are the emotions that I'm feeling? Are there things in the past that I haven't dealt with that are affecting me right now? Learn to become self-aware. Know what's going on inside of you. Number two, allow yourself to feel. Church, allow yourself to feel. Allow yourself to feel pain and sadness and frustration and brokenness. Allow yourself to feel. But number three, invite God into what you're feeling. Invite God into that very place of brokenness and pain. And then the response, however you choose to respond after that, is worship. I want everyone to close your eyes and I want to end today a very specific way. There's this song that's been burning on my heart. And I just want to sing it over you prophetically. And I just want you to receive this song. And it's a song by Hillsong United. It's called Even When It Hurts. And as I sing this song over you, I just want you to receive what the words are saying. And I want you to ask yourself, God, are there things in my heart? Are there emotions that I need to deal with? Is there pain or brokenness that I need you to come in the midst of? And right now, I just want to have an honest moment before God. Can we just do that, church? Can we just have an honest moment before God? And listen, some of you, you're happy as a clam right now. There's nothing going on inside of you. That's fine. Listen, you can just worship freely. But I sense that there's some of you who have brokenness that you haven't dealt with, who have pain, but you have not allowed yourself to feel. So as I sing this song over you, I want you to just have that honest, authentic time with God. He is Emmanuel, God with us.